Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Dumelang Afropolitans, I'm Kathy Mushahlana and I'm sipping the best tea in the city, Kaya FM 95.9.
The best tea in the city.
Are you going to have tea?
Yes, I'm going to have tea. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
It's rooibos tea. I love rooibos tea.
There you go. So why are you worried?
Because, I think it's difficult to kind of do as receive as you do unto others.
And I was saying to you I put it three quarters up. I don't know if you're going to have milk or sugar.
No milk. Thank
okay.
you.
All right,
yes.
All right. No,
thank you
perfect.
So much.
Okay, then. So I was saying that to you that, you know, Kathy Mushahlana, there's no way you can prepare for this interview.
That's the problem.
Yeah, there's no way you would have set up with files and like what you normally do with politicians, and they must prepare before they come and sit in front of you.
And I must prepare before they come and sit in front of me.
Yes, because uh-huh. you're searching for the truth, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and now. Today it's you on the receiving end.
No, but I think we need to have a social compact on this interview.
What social compact?
We need some consensus.
Okay.
You need to be, you know, we just need some agreements on what you're going to ask me so that, you know, some blindsider.
Blindsider?
Hey, yeah.
That's what you do every day.
No, I can blindside everybody. No, man, come on.
I'm on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
You're looking
for
great.
Me.
You're looking happy.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. That's amazing. I mean, you are a blossomed flower from what we used to, or the girl we used to work with.
Yeah.
Back in Newtown before we even moved here.
Yeah.
And do you look back and I hope we are one of your favorite places of work.
I was actually thinking about it the other day that especially after your producers gave me a call that it's been 11 years since.
Wow.
It's, can you believe it?
Oh my word.
It's been 11 years since I was doing news on your show.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And I think so much has happened since then. I mean, when I look back to my time at Kaya, I always tell everybody it was the best time in the world because we had a whole lot of fun,
yeah,
right? I just remember it being incredibly fun,
yeah.
Being in the space and being in the environment. And I think that I've really been fortunate because even people like, you know, the station manager or Greg,
yes.
He's just like, been, you know, somebody who just watches over you, and he's always so encouraging of every step that I take, and
wonderful.
And so, you know, it's I still somewhat feel connected to the family,
yeah.
Even though I haven't been here.
No, we own you. We own you even when we see you on TV. That's ours. That's our girl.
Yeah.
But from a girl who was born in Brilliant, an hour away from Polokwane, when you look back. Take me back to that six-year-old girl who was now taken to boarding school.
Okay. So, born in Lebowakgomo, right?
Yeah.
And then I moved to Brilanda with my grandmother because that's where my grandmother lived.
Okay.
At the time, a lot of us as grandkids were like just shoved over to the grand's house while the parents were trying to make sense of life, really. And I don't necessarily remember too much about those very early years. Like,
okay.
I can't. I remember here and there, but not incredibly too much. I can
see. Which moment in your formidable years, high school years, or in fact foundation phase, does it really say to you, "I knew this is where I'm going"?
At that time, I don't think that there was. There was ever a point that I thought this is where I'm going. The only moment that stands out for me was one day. I think I was in grade four.
Okay.
And we had a little project that we had to do, and it was in geography. And the teacher, we were supposed to determine weather patterns, and she had a bit of fun with the project, and she said everybody must present as if they're doing the weather on TV.
Yeah.
And so. After that, she said to me, she said, you know, that was really convincing. I think think you could do the weather one day.
Yeah.
And so that was geography. Then in the reading class, whenever we would, because we used to read a lot and we'd have to read out loud too.
Yeah.
And so whenever we'd read, the teachers would come to me and say, you know, you read really well.
Yeah.
And so those are the things that when I think back, especially to my primary school years, that kind of stand out for me, because I'm like, maybe this was always meant to be my path, because they've been these little flickers of light along the way.
And did you choose any, did you have a different path in mind? Because you know how it is, we choose different careers at different moments, right?
Look, I think that, you know, I'm that child that used to school holidays, I'm watching Rites and Recourse with reading. You know, in the middle of the day, everybody's out playing in the streets. I've got my TV scheduling program on lockdown.
Yeah.
After that, I know that the Oprah show is coming on. So
okay.
I cannot afford to miss the Oprah show because it's just, I must watch Oprah.
Okay.
And again, now that I've been forced to go back and interrogate if I knew that this is what I would be doing, I think this is what I had wanted to do. Not that I knew I would do it.
Yes.
But that there may have been a desire from long ago anyway.
And even how you chose your programs, clearly,
you're
choosing it based on a strong female lead or anchor at that particular moment. And now, but who's in this household, the Mahlahlana household? I mean, how many kids are in there?
So there's three, but for the longest time, there's just one. There's just me and raised by a single mom at the time.
Okay.
So only when I'm about 10... does my mom then get remarried and decide to have two other boys who are now my younger brothers?
Yes, yes.
So there's that decade between us. So for the longest time, I grew up as an only child,
but
not really treated as an only child, you know? When I hear about how, you know, people are like, only children are so spoiled. I'm like, guys, in whose household? In whose household? Can somebody please just, you know, I got the raw end of the stick when it comes to the being an only child, because I was just like, my mom was drilling this issue of, she wants me to grow up and to be independent. And so that was the framework under which I was raised. You know, it was just
Where did she get that from?
I don't know.
Was she a...
I think herself, maybe.
What profession was she? I mean, there are different circumstances that will make a parent want to instill such a great, you know, character in a girl especially.
Yeah.
What was her background?
Well, she's a teacher. She started off at hotel school. And she's a teacher today. She runs a private school, private school institution in Polokwane. So I think she's always been, you know, a visionary, but also going against the tide, you know, because when you think about it, how do you move from hotel school to teaching profession? But when I think about it, all of my grandmother's children are teachers. Effectively, in one way or the other, they lecture at universities.
Yeah.
They have schools. They just
it's
almost like in the blood, I would say. You know,
to instill knowledge and pass it on.
Exactly.
And grandma?
Grandma was a stay-at-home mom, but she was a farmer.
And
my grandmother had fields for days. Even her house, you know, ko Brilanda. Like around the house. So
and she like,
exactly, right in the middle somewhere.
Exactly. When you look at it in a big scheme of things.
Exactly. Yeah. So my grandmother was just going home to my grandmother's house meant lots of cows, lots of goats, lots of sheep. You know, Hore, you're going to do a lot of work because otsoga froho. And on some
and
days...
that's the beauty about farm life, isn't it?
Yes, yes. On some days when she wants to beat the city out of you, you're going into the fields with the herdsmen, lodisha di home, you know? I think she used to do it just to get the mickey out of us, you know? Yeah. And she'd be like, and, you know, she was very stern. So she didn't have to say anything twice. She said it once and you got it.
Yeah.
And they put le pakadi kaftini, and you just know that tomorrow, by the time the crack of dawn sees you, you are out, up and about, you're ready, and you're spending the day out there, in, you know,
herding cows, herding livestock, basically.
And you know, she just she made it like it, and we actually looked forward to it, you know, because at first it's a fascination, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, yo,
I want to see
your home. Yeah, ooh, it's so exciting. Yeah. After day three, it's not exciting anymore.
You're like, do I have to?
Now you're just like, oh no, and then you start complaining. And she's like, yeah.
I'm hanging out with Kathy Mutlahlane as we paint a picture about her, her background, her upbringing, to be the woman that we celebrate today. And Kim Maritaba right now. Just saying. If Maritaba was a person, we'll be right back. The most talented of the Carter family.
I suppose, right?
Oh, you know what I mean?
She's I mean, she's got a name for herself. She hasn't even released a single anything in life, in she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done. Brown Skin Girl?
Yes.
Your anthem right now.
Yes. It's such a beautiful message, and we underestimate the impact of what it means to have songs about us that are recognized on international stage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also part of the movement, right? A movement that says that we, as black girls, as we are enough without needing to conform.
Or augment.
Yes, or even augment. And it's a crazy message, because when I go out to schools and I'm speaking to young girls, that, you know, from time to time you get to engage and you have mentorship sessions.
Yes.
The biggest thing that young girls today are struggling with, that stresses them out, is not whether or not they're going to pass or fail, but it's being on social media and the kind of messaging that they see and the kind of messaging that they receive about themselves and how they compare themselves to what they see.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's never been a more important time to reaffirm
Yep.
who we are, and to say that we are enough, like you are enough.
And when you look at it psychologically, they say you are what you post.
Yeah.
So meaning you are putting so much of yourself out there, and should you get a backlash, it's something else.
So exactly.
Whether you are equipped to handle the backlash is another thing.
Yes.
But talking about backlashes and how to put yourself out there, how to be vulnerable. I mean, for starters, you started at Voice of Vets, right?
Yes.
And what were you doing there?
I was a reporter at Voice of Vets, and I used to do the news. I used to fight to have news bulletins because, you know, they would. My colleagues at Voice of Vets were like, but we don't need news.
Yeah.
So it was a battle, you know. I would insist. I would be like,
because they were all about music, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, don't come to news late.
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes past two. That time, you know, like five students are listening.
And but still,
it's important.
And you are adverse because you're studying.
I'm political science and international relations.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
wonderful.
Yes,
and
yes.
Done.
Yes. After a while, done, yes.
From Voice of Vets, you get then spotted by 702.
Yes.
And to do what there?
So 702 had this talent search on campus, and quite a few of us were discovered in that talent search. A few names and faces that you see.
Oh, like who?
Well, the thing is, I don't want to say their names, and then in case I got it wrong. But
okay.
So,
yeah.
But as far as I know,
yeah.
And so, you know, they have these callbacks. They call us back just to come and see their offices, and they say, look, you guys are the group that we want to expose you to what a real radio station looks and works like.
Okay.
But it's just for 2 weeks, so don't get overexcited.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I then get called into an interview with the station manager, Pilar Di Guangua, at the time.
Yes.
And Alistair White, who's head of programming.
Yeah.
and they sit down with me for an hour. And now it's not hard to get an opinion out of me.
Yeah, I
think a lot of anything in general.
Sure.
So I think that they were just fascinated by this 19-year-old who just had so much to say about so much. And so they then call Katie Katapodis and say, look, Katie wants to have a meeting with you.
Yeah.
I go and have a meeting with Katie. And I think she's just like, you know, after a meeting, I take this current affairs test, which I failed dismally. It was bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So the first thing I say to her after the test, I say, please do yourself a favor and do not look at that test because it's very embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it's not an accurate reflection of who I am.
Wow.
And then she says, well, if you want to be in news, Kathy, things like this are unacceptable.
Yeah.
You have to know what's happening all the time. So that is not a good enough reason.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, ma'am.
Mm.
And then she says, okay, I think I want you in my newsroom.
Oh, wow. And because it's more attitude than anything, right? Right?
I don't know what she saw.
But I think it's a blend of everything, right? Because it's one thing to fail a test, but it's another to have the good attitude for it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe your attitude was more on, listen, I belong here.
Yeah.
And she felt it too.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Because, I mean, I certainly wasn't going, I felt like I needed to explain it because that's how, out of 33 questions I answered, about 15.
Yeah. So it was dismal. No, I get it. But now, what made you then, because one would think you are in the right environment since it's such a news and information-heavy station.
Yeah.
What made you say, I'm going to Kaya FM?
When I felt like I wasn't being given room to do what I wanted to do.
Which was?
So I wanted to be full-time on air and focus on that. At the time, I was working as on air, but I was also doing a lot of work online for the station.
Yeah.
And so I'd gotten to a point where I felt like I need to choose something so that I can commit myself to it, so that I can grow in it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd had so many people who were encouraging me to just keep on doing the on-air stuff. And so I felt like, you know, we're not seeing eye to eye. So as you know, so then the opportunity to come to Kaya came up.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm done.
I'm going. This. Yeah.
And at that point, I think we did meet and you know, she said, no, Kath, please don't go. Mm. We hear you. You'll get what you want. But I think by then it was just about showing you Guti.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can make up my mind.
Yeah. And it's actually the most confusing time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because then they say stay, but there's this new place that you're going to. You don't even know whether what you want you're going to get.
Yeah.
So you get to Kaya. Are you given that room?
I get to Kaya and I'm given that room. I'm given that room because I'm on air. I'm also reporting. I get to, you know, go
and do stories.
Yes, fully dedicate myself to just doing stories without necessarily being worried about doing this for so many days a week and doing that for so many days a week. And it's incredibly fun and insightful. But I think probably one of the things that made me go back was just the feeling that, well, actually, I want to fully immerse myself in news. So I don't want to do it and like I just want to be fully committed to news and information and I think that was ultimately part of the reason that I felt okay, let me go back because I know they're going to give me a tougher time in that newsroom
which then builds you.
Yes
That's a very bold thing to do because people are looking for easy outs and you are looking for fences, you know, so to speak, to mold who Kathy needs to be news-wise.
Because we're always growing. We're always growing. We're always evolving. And if I'm not intentional about growing myself and what I have to offer, it's not going to happen on its own.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. It's hard. But I think ultimately, if you are committed. My thing is, I just want to be the best at what I do.
Sure.
I really strive for excellence in what I do. And so anything that's going to help me get there, anything that's going to help me get better, I have all the time in the world for.
And then ENCA.
Yes.
And this is the Dabrapata era, right?
Yes, yes.
And who gets you there?
Who approaches me is Ben Said.
Okay.
Ben Said gives me a call. We have a meeting. And I'm like, you know, Ben, number one, I don't want to break Katie's heart again because, you know, it took so long for her to be able to just...
Yeah.
Let go of the fact that I said no to her. Yeah. Remember, she's the one that brought me out of it, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Ben said gives me a call, and I'm reluctant for many reasons.
Yeah.
TV, it's a whole new ball game.
Sure.
People will get to see you. People get to analyze.
Yeah.
It becomes about everything but the news sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So... That was the voice of fear.
Yes.
It was a difficult decision transitioning to TV personally.
One foot still in radio, or you had to completely leave radio?
I had to completely leave radio. ENCA was saying just ride or die with us, Kath. Ride or die.
What made you say yes?
My friends.
So you called your...
I believe in counsel.
Okay.
I believe in counsel. And I've surrounded myself with really, I think, well-rounded individuals who bring different things into my life.
Yeah.
And so whenever I have a big decision to make,
yeah,
I consult with the various quarters. We call a conference and we meet and we discuss.
Wait, so even with Newsroom Africa, because that was a huge decision.
Yeah, yeah.
So you went to counsel.
I always take counsel. I don't make decisions without taking counsel, because sometimes there are things that I see and they look a certain way to me, but somebody else might have a different interpretation.
Mm.
And so it's good to be able to see all sides through the eyes of those who are also watching my life and not necessarily incited and confined to this angle.
Describe them for me. Are they family? Are they just friends?
Friends, mentors. You know, it varies across the board.
And the meeting, is it one meeting council or you go
no,
to
No,
them
no, no, individually. Individually. So I go and I hold different coffees with people. And I say, okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is my plan for how I think it could work. What do you think? And they interrogate my plan. And they ask me, okay, why do you want to do this? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? I leave with more homework than not.
Yeah.
So by the time I actually make decisions, I'm pretty clear about what some of the... You know, it's almost like scenario planning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm clear
you've
about
also,
what
you've
some
also
of...
gotten the blind spots in play.
Yes, but... And I've reconciled myself with the decision. So I'm prepared for whatever may come as a result of that decision, even if it's a bad decision. Mm. Yeah.
Do they have a say about your relationships? It's the hashtag we had, by the way. Your friends have a say. That's what we spoke about on Tuesday.
They do. In the sense that they don't get to tell me who to be with. But I do listen when they raise issues about the people that I'm with.
Yeah.
Especially if they think that those issues will have a negative impact on my life.
You don't want to know Tuesday, man.
Oh, Timos. I can we're talking generally.
Oh, generally, they had a say about a choice you made. This is Kathy Mushlashana, and this is my top 10. We'll be right back. Come on, Namazulu.
Sorry, does that need a response from me? I mean,
just hang it and see what happens. Hey, why women don't shell up for sex?
I don't know. I saw it trending, but I don't know. I mean, is that the kind of thing I'm supposed to know about?
Why?
I don't know.
Bonchel.
Sometimes.
And the most times, no. Right?
Uh-huh.
And the liver wanyakang they're not available. Like it?
Where's this going?
Why don't you shut up for sex?
No.
This is where it started, by the way. That's where it was trending.
Okay.
You don't DM? And women
no, who would I be DMing?
Whoever you want.
No, I don't want people. They want me.
Yeah, right.
My DMs are the ones that are lit, darling.
DBs.
Kispitipit.
Mara wakati kesi. We kesi gantung bonanin. But would you?
Would I what?
Would you shut up for sex? Would you go to a guy and says, you know what? I want nothing else from you, but...
I don't know.
I've never... Yeah. Have you ever shallowed a guy?
No.
Why?
I told you.
Oh.
So
there's no need.
I'm managing oncoming traffic. I don't have time.
Yeah.
To be, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't have time to look.
Not to look, but I'm just saying, I'm managing oncoming traffic.
I mean, girl, come on. You went to Washington.
And then what happened in Washington?
The fellowship, right?
Yes.
And what happened there, by the way? How did you end up in Washington? What was going on?
So, it was, the Obama Washington Fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because, wow. Oh, okay. which fellowship I took.
Really? There's more?
No.
I'm talking about the Obama one.
Oh, the Obama Fellowship. Yeah. Okay. So, the Obama Fellowship, that was amazing. That was great.
How did that even happen?
No, but we all apply. So funny thing is, I get a call. It wasn't even a call. I get an inbox from an individual. I don't even know this person.
Yeah, no, DM Jody B.
No, but I think
sometimes
it's how the things that are meant to be just come, right?
Yeah.
I get an inbox from this person saying, "Hi, I saw the scholarship. I think you should apply. It sounds like something you would qualify for."
Wow.
And I got this message the day of the deadline of the fellowship.
Sure.
So I then, I'm thinking, but I don't have time to put this whole thing together because it's one of those that requires so many hours.
Yeah.
So I spend the better part of my evening filling in these forms, etc. Submit just in time for the midnight cutoff.
Yeah.
They have their final top whatever. And they tell me, you know, they're like, "Ish, unfortunately, you're not part of the top 40 because we just feel like you won't benefit much from this. You know, we just feel like there are other things that we might have for you. This might not be the one."
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, no, that's fine. It would have been nice, but that's okay. Yeah. We move on. And then they call me again. They're like, "No, actually, we've just decided to put you in because we just felt like there's no way we could not have you."
Hey, man. That good. It was that good.
Yeah, but, well, I don't know if it was that good, but I'm just saying, you know, from a point of destiny, the things that are meant to be.
They would be.
They will be.
So you're in the same room with Barack Obama now?
And Michelle Obama.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, I was more taken by, of course, it's Barack Obama, but by that time, Michelle had already had a story that resonated with me incredibly. Because I used to watch a lot of the stuff that they were doing, even from the primaries.
Yes.
I'd listen to her speak and I thought, sure, this woman is so incredible. And how she was able to change the image of the American press from how they first received her as being, you know, the potential First Lady to what it was when she left office, night and day. And you have to have some kind of willpower to be able to stand against the tide like that and say, you will recognize me for who I am.
So there's something about being in the space you want to be, doing what you want to do, that just kind of opens doors without you even sweating, right?
Sometimes it feels like that. The one thing I work hard at is being good at what I do. I'm not perfect, but I do think that I make a considerable enough effort for it to at the least not be mediocre.
You know.
And so that becomes my focus. It becomes my obsession. And what I've noticed is that other people begin to take notice, and they begin to say, "Hey, Kath, actually, we want you to do this, so we want you to do that." So it's kind of just grown on its own, my career.
I like that. Now, let's talk about what you do. You deal with news, and sometimes you even deal with off-the-record briefings. So, in other words, you are well-informed. Hence, I said umadita, in a good way. What about the women agenda, since it's Women's Month?
Yeah.
It's a political ball.
Yeah.
And you, of all people, as you're sitting here, positive, you're pushing forward. I can't help but feel like if there's one person who needed to be despondent about where we are going, especially in advancing the emancipation and the emancipation of women and the agenda itself, it's you. But I don't get that sense. Why is that?
Because if we become despondent, it means that we are led to inaction. It means that we surrender and give in to the situation. And I wasn't always who I am today. And in future, I won't always be who I am today. And because I appreciate that so much, I understand the value of being able to see myself even in another woman who's still struggling to make it in her own life. You know, the better part of my, well, not the better part, but I think probably all of my 20s was partly spent on helping to empower and develop women, even though at the time I probably needed the empowerment more myself, But, you know, I was very involved with multiple projects, and I still am today. But that's where my heart is, because I understand that, you know, you talk about the girl, Wako Brilanda. I understand that there are certain things that need to happen in the life of that girl for her to become Kathy, so that she can be on the best tee in the city.
Yeah.
But those things are not so, they're not impossible. They're not out of reach. I understand that it took women who are just a few steps ahead of me to look back and say, actually, Kathy unale potential. Let's invest in this young girl. Let's groom her. Let's show her, most importantly, what she can be. Let's support it. Even though it's raw, it's rough, it needs some bronzing and sharpening.
Yeah.
But I'll take my time. And that's what we need.
So in essence, what you're saying is the agenda, the programs, and the advancement of women, number one, it starts with women.
It starts with women, absolutely. It starts with women. We have to be at the forefront of that, because what we know from the state of affairs in the country is that nobody else is going to be at the forefront of that. If we want equal pay for equal work, guess what? That's not going to happen tomorrow if we are not the ones, when we are in positions of leadership, who are deliberate. Yes, who are deliberate about saying, actually, if I have female staff in my company or in under my watch, I'm going to make sure that they in no way become discredited with their male counterparts. it comes back to our homes. Mani wa ko gae. When you see her, you know, and we can have conversations about what a struggle it is to make ends meet. But if you, when I invoice you, Uncle T, I don't want to be negotiating all day with you about my invoice. Mani wa ko gae is the same.
Yes.
I negotiate a lower price.
Yes.
Give her what she deserves.
That or way, even better.
Yes, or even better. That way you will also get what you deserve. Or even better.
You see why we chose you? We see why you worked at Kaya. We see why you are Keith Mutlatlan. You see why?
Why?
You are an Afropolitan. We celebrate you, girl. We can't help but be filled with pride every time we see what you do, when we read the magazines and we see what you do on TV and when we read about you and the stuff that you do, climbing the mountain, Kili, and all of those things.
Yeah.
And we're like, damn, this used to be our colleague. She's now the face of news. And that is something worth celebrating.
Thank you so much.
Keep shining, girl.
You have no idea what being here today means to me. I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, I think this means that hashtag mama, I made it.
Yes.
I'm on the best tree in the city. My top 10 at 10.
You used to read for this show.
Yes.
And you used to watch them come for the TV.
Exactly.
And now you're on it.
And now I'm on it.
I always say, until you get a standing ovation from your own people, you haven't made it.
Sure.
And here it is.
Oton Lisha.
Mang.
Unakakila.
Never let it dear, Mutlamasa. Ladies and gentlemen, Keith Mutlatlan.
Celebrating Women's Month on the home of the Afropolitan. Made by women on Kaya FM 95.9.
The best tea in the city. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.